The reading is written in Mark, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and is to be found on page 1015 in the Church Bible. Mark, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Richard. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this very familiar passage, the story of that first Palm Sunday, open our eyes and hearts anew, that we may be challenged in a new way. Give us open hearts, minds, and ears to hear what you want to say to each one of us this morning. Amen. Have you ever been in a large crowd waiting the appearance of someone or something? That feeling that you're about to witness something special, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, as many of you know, I'm not a particular sporting fan, but I remember when I lived in Denmark in 1992, I got caught up in the European Football Championships. Now, for those of you who don't know, don't care, or don't remember, Denmark was a late addition. They didn't qualify. Yugoslavia had to pull out, and so they were brought in at the last minute, and no one expected them to do very well. And yet, against all the odds, they went on to win, beating Germany 2-0 in the final. The day after the final, I went to the Town Hall Square in Copenhagen to witness the triumphant return of the winning team. Tens of thousands of people singing and cheering as the goals were replayed on the big screen. As the crowds waited for the team to return from the airport, they were on an open-top bus, and it took hours longer because there were so many people on the road. They were worried that it was going to, you know, knock people over, so it had to edge its way through the crowds very, very slowly. Finally, they made it to the Town Hall Square, and the team arrived, and they went up onto the balcony to the shouts and cheers of the fans. It was incredible. I remember that feeling of excitement, that I was witnessing something special, a day I will always remember. And maybe one that gives me a tiny, tiny glimpse of what it would have been like to witness the triumphant entry of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey that first Palm Sunday. It's such a familiar story to us, isn't it? The donkey, the crowds gathering and shouting Hosanna, the joy and euphoria before the darkness that is to come in a few days' time when Jesus is arrested, tortured, and put to death on the cross, only for the joyful resurrection on Easter morning, which we'll be celebrating this time next week. But how is this story of Palm Sunday relevant to us today? Well, we're going to look at the significance of the donkey, the significance of the cloaks, and the significance of the crowds shouting. But before we do that, let's just take a moment to explore what is going on in this very familiar story. Our passage starts with, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives is located just east of Jerusalem and is a ridge that's 2.5 miles long. And you can see Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley. And near the summit are the towns of Bethphage and Bethany. It's familiar territory to Jesus. Bethany is the town where his friends Lazarus, Martha and Mary live. Now, at this time of year, the roads would have been crowded with people, all heading in the same direction. They were going on pilgrimage to up to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. So there would have been quite an atmosphere of people excitedly heading towards the city. And amongst the crowds were Jesus and his disciples. And as they near the two villages, Jesus sends two of them off to find a colt, a young donkey. And he tells them that this animal will have never been ridden, that they're to untie it and bring it to him. And if anyone is to say anything, they should just simply say, the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here shortly. I love the fact that they know they're going to get their donkey back. The disciples head off and do indeed find the colt. And as they're untying it, they are indeed challenged by some people stood nearby. And the disciples tell them what Jesus said. And so the people let them go. That in itself is quite remarkable, isn't it? Imagine you've left your car keys in the ignition and someone comes along and goes to take it and you say, hang on a minute, what are you doing? And they say something like, oh, King Charles needs it, but you can have it back. What would your response be? Not, oh, off you go, please help yourself. That the disciples take the donkey back to Jesus, put their cloaks on it, so he's got something to sit on. And Jesus climbs on, and they continue their journey towards Jerusalem. And as they do so, something happens in the crowd. They realise they're witnessing something special, and they begin to spread their cloaks on the ground, and some go and get palms and branches to lay on the road. And as Jesus rode along with his disciples walking next to him, the crowd, both in front and behind, begin to sing and shout in loud voices, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. How amazing would that have been? Just take a moment to imagine it. The crowds, the shouting of praise, the atmosphere, one of joy and celebration. And Jesus, the King of Kings, riding through the crowd on a donkey. It's quite a picture, isn't it? And when I started preparing this sermon and I reread this familiar passage, something struck me that how a lot of this story relates to the young donkey. Of all the gospel writers, Mark is the briefest and the most succinct. You get a sense that he's only recording the really important things we need to know. And that got me wondering about the significance of the donkey. Why does Mark use over half of his telling of this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, focusing on it? So why did Jesus send his disciples to get a donkey? Well, it's not because he was tired of the climb up the Mount of Olives and wanted to have a rest. No. Jesus had to ride a donkey in order to fulfill prophecies in the Old Testament, in order to show the people he was the Messiah. When Israel's rulers wanted to present themselves as servants of the people, they rode donkeys. You can read about it in Judges chapter 10 and chapter 12. And when they entered as military leaders, they rode horses. And Matthew's gospel says that Jesus rode the donkey specifically to fulfill the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which says, Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus' entry in this dramatic way is to convey his status. He is a king riding a king's mount. Secondly, there are also references in the Old Testament to using animals for a specific purpose that have never been used before. In Deuteronomy 21, there are instructions for what to do if there is an unsolved murder. Verse 3 says that the elders of the town nearest the body shall take a heifer that has never been worked and has never worn a yoke and lead it down into a valley. And then it goes on to describe how an animal should be used as a sacrifice, an atonement for the wrongdoing. In our passage, the specific purpose of this donkey that had never been ridden before was to carry Jesus, the King of Kings, along the road that would ultimately end in his death and resurrection as an atonement for our sins. And as we've heard, thirdly, a king riding a horse symbolised war and conquest, whereas a king riding a donkey symbolised peace. Jesus, by riding on a donkey, was proclaiming his mission of peace and reconciliation. Riding a donkey underlines the image that Jesus was not coming as a warrior to fight the Romans or as a typical triumphant king returning from a great battle on a horse. He was showing that he came to bring peace. Finally, if we look back through the Gospels, we see times when Jesus tells people, including the disciples, not to say who he was. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus heals a man of leprosy. And in verse 44, he says, "See that you don't tell this to anyone." In Matthew 9, Jesus heals two blind men. And in verse 30, Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." In Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20, Jesus is talking with the disciples, and Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in verse 20, Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. But on this day, Jesus is making a very clear statement that he is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings, riding on a donkey, set aside for this specific purpose, to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy, the scripture that would have been so familiar to the crowds at this time, that he was and is the Messiah. So the disciples bring this young donkey to Jesus and throw their cloaks over it. And then, as Jesus started riding into Jerusalem, many in the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Just imagine all the people on their way to Jerusalem suddenly realizing who was there. You could almost hear the whispers going through the crowd as the noise and commotion grows. There's Jesus, the man who performed many miracles, the growing excitement, the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, the man who healed people. And in the joy of that moment, the crowd threw their cloaks on the road for Jesus and the donkey to walk over. Sounds a bit odd, doesn't it, laying your cloaks on the road? But apparently it was part of an ancient practice of welcoming a new king. And you can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13. Here the crowd recognised Jesus' claim to be the king of the Jews. And such an action was a huge sacrifice. These cloaks were expensive, prized possessions. The cloak was a status symbol for some. Decorated, made from fine material, it would have had rich and beautiful ornaments of metal and precious stones or embroidery all over it. Many used their cloaks as collateral to guarantee a loan or a debt. They weren't cheap. For the poor, they used them as their bedsheets. So here was the crowd willing to cast their prized possessions, even their bedsheets, under the hooves of this donkey because they recognised this was a truly special event and thought that the Messiah had come to save them. And finally, what was the significance of the shouting crowd? Well, here was Jesus making a statement that he was the Messiah, riding on a donkey, letting people acknowledge him as the king. But did people really recognise him as the king, the Saviour he really was. Well, yes, on the face of it, they appear to. The people were looking for a Saviour, but their understanding, their hope of a Saviour was a bit different to who Jesus actually was. They were looking for someone to save them from the Romans. They were looking for a military leader. Verses 9 and 10, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna!" And as we learned in the family teaching slot, that translated literally means "save us," which on the face of it looks like people recognise Jesus as the one who came to save them from their sins. But actually, the meaning of "save us" is in the military sense. The people thought that Jesus had come to save them from Roman rule, that he would go into battle for them. But as we've already seen, the fact he rode on a donkey showed he was coming in peace. When the Jews spoke about a Messiah, they talked of him as the one who is coming. So that shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," which Dave used at the beginning of the service, it comes from Psalm 118. It's a prayer of blessing for the coming Messiah. So in essence, the crowd is shouting, "Jesus is Messiah. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." This tribute acknowledges Jesus as bringing the kingdom promised to David's son. God made a covenant, an agreement with David, that his descendants would continue to rule over Israel, and that one of his descendants would be the long-awaited Messiah, who would establish a kingdom that would last forever. And in this moment, the crowd recognized Jesus as that long-awaited Messiah. The shout, "Hosanna in the highest heaven," means, "O you who live in heaven, save us now." It was a call to God to deliver his people, just as he had done in saving them out of the land of Egypt. The crowd seemed to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the one God promised would come. Finally, hundreds of years of waiting is over. He is here. "Save us now," they cried, and yet they didn't understand that Jesus came in peace as Saviour of the world to save them from death by dying on the cross for theirs and our sins, that we might have eternal life. The crowds were saying the right words, but didn't really understand. And as we see as we go journey through Holy Week, the crowds soon changed their minds, turning against Jesus, calling for his crucifixion and death. But more on that later in the week. So we've looked at the significance of the donkey, the cloaks, and the words that people shouted. But how is all that relevant to us? What's the significance to us today? Well, Jesus chose to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. The King of Kings humbled himself to ride on a lowly donkey. Jesus shows us the importance of showing humility in our own lives. In a world that often values power, status, money, self-promotion, we as Christians are called to humbly serve others, putting their needs before our own. So do we humbly follow Jesus and humbly serve those around us? Are we willing to give him whatever he asks of us, whether that's our time, our money, to use our gifts, or something more? If someone came and said they needed your car to do the Lord's work, maybe chauffeuring people to church or doing some shopping if they can't get out, how would you respond? There's lots of ways to serve here at St. Pat's, whether it's helping in the children's groups, making teas and coffees after Sunday services, being a welcomer or a steward, generally helping out during the vacancy. The question we should be asking ourselves is, how can I serve others and bring Jesus glory? The crowds were willing to use their prized possessions to welcome Jesus. Throwing their cloaks on the ground to be trampled over was quite a sacrifice. But they wanted to welcome Jesus, acknowledge who he was. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. Now, we aren't called to do that, but do we give our whole lives to Jesus? What do we sacrifice in order to bring him glory? I'm not just talking about our time or money, but how do we live? Are we open about our faith? Do we take opportunities to share our faith with others, even if it might cost us a friendship or we might face ridicule? But aren't they a small price to pay compared to what Jesus did for us on the cross? And finally, what does the significance of the crowd shouting mean for us today? Do we truly understand who Jesus is? Or do we say the words of the prayers, sing the songs but not really understand them, or not sing them from our hearts? Do we read the Bible but not take time to reflect on it and what it means for us and how we should live? If you're not yet a Christian, then can I encourage you to talk to someone who is? Ask them to help you understand who Jesus really is. Do one of our courses like Hope Explored. Join a home group. It will really help you to get to know Jesus and for you to accept him as your Lord and Saviour. For those of us who are Christians, we have the challenge of helping others understand who Jesus is and what it means to be a Christian. People we know who don't know Jesus just don't understand who he is. Society thinks at best Christians are old-fashioned and out of date, and at worst, bigoted and out of touch. We need to make Jesus known. Help people to have a right understanding that Jesus is our Saviour. He is the one who has defeated sin and death. There is no other name by which we can be saved. And whilst that may be an unpopular message for the world out there, we must never stop proclaiming it. Earlier this week, I was talking with a colleague at work, and we're discussing whether a deadline would be met. It wasn't looking good. In fact, it was pretty certain that never in a month of Sundays would it happen. Except my colleague said something like, "So unless Jesus rises from the dead," I didn't let her finish that sentence. I jumped in and said, "He did that on Easter morning." They went a bit quiet. I think they'd forgotten they were talking to the Christian on the team. But once we understand who Jesus is, we should never stop shouting about it. So as we start Holy Week today, let's take time to reflect on this story. And as we turn and look to the cross, our challenge is to know and accept in our hearts and let it change how we live, so that we are obedient to Jesus' call to humbly serve. We are generous and sacrificial in how we live, and we make Jesus known to others. The real Jesus, the one who died on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Amen.